Which one do you think if a turtle and a rabbit would compete in a race, which one will win? Can you agree that a turtle can win if it competes against a rabbit? There's this video circulated online where they let a tortoise and a hare, a rabbit and a turtle compete. You can find that online if you would like to see more of the full video. The rabbit quickly hopped into the middle of the race, and then with the audience cheering, it was amused and stopped. It was maybe fascinated. Why are these people shouting? I mean, I don't know what's in the mind of that rabbit, but the turtle was so focused, walking slowly to the finish line and won the race eventually. I don't know if the rabbit, if the turtle was deaf, but it wins the race. What can you learn from this reality? The rabbit has natural ability to move very quickly, move faster, but most often confused by its surrounding. Similarly, many people have special talents. They cannot beneficially use their abilities productively because they fail to reach their potentiality because of attractive concerns that may distract them. Truly, many Christians have been attracted, have been amused by worldly things. Why not? They are enchanted, they are enticed by materialism. Why not? What happens if they would do that? They miss the glorious blessing of the Lord that the Lord has prepared for obedience. Many people would think that since God is spirit, everything he wants from us is spiritual things. Maybe they didn't say it loud, but that is how they imply in their action. But think about it. If God created all these material things in the world for us to have or to use, is he not very interested also in the material things that we need to live a godly life? That should be something that we would think about. It's not only spiritual things that God is interested in us. He's interested with our health. He's interested with our job, with our talents. That's why he gave them. Evaluate your life as Christian. What do you think? Are you productive? Are you fruitful spiritually? Pray that you make disciples. That is the fruitfulness that the Lord wants us to see. To make disciples. How can we encourage others? Well, ask the Lord for wisdom. It's not only the words that we say that we disciple. It's also how we live our life that they would follow. Our lifestyle, our behavior, the way we speak. Someone observed me. I think you are discipled by this person. Because the way I speak or use words, it's like similar to a person. And truly, I have high respect to the person that sometimes the way he speaks, I have something like I followed or something like that. I can trace myself that the person I respect somehow has discipled me indirectly. Christ told the parable of a farmer where seeds fell among the thorns. In his explanation, he said in Mark chapter 4, verse 19 to 20, Let's read together. The worst of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce crops. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Not everyone has the same ability to bear fruit. If you have planted trees, you may observe that the same kind of tree, that they bear fruit differently. I don't know why, but this is how it practically explains what the Lord Jesus, even us, we do not have the same ability to disciple the number of people. If one may disciple two or three or four, and you can disciple more than the other, then that would be great. It's God's work at work in our life. Now, if you plant fruit trees, you expect abundant harvest, right? You regularly prune unproductive branches. What are those unproductive branches? The dead branch, the diseased branch, the damaged branch, there are many kinds of branches that are not productive. If you are to go to the internet and look for video, how to prune apple tree, for example, or pear tree, they would tell you which branch you would prune. Same is true with the grapevine. How to prune grapevine, and they would show you that they would prune that very healthy branch. Why? Because it's unproductive branch. It's not the right branch to bear fruit. And similarly, God expects fruit from believers. And He wisely cut or prunes parts of us that are not productive so that we'll be fruitful qualitatively. So when there are things that you think that, why is this happening to me? I would like this to prosper or to be productive, but the Lord allowed it to stop, maybe that part of you is not very productive. Maybe that part of you will cause you to be proud. So the Lord would just cut it, remove it from you so that you would be productive. Spiritual fruits that Christ expects us to produce are disciples, making disciples. Now, in everything you do, that is one thing that you would take note, making disciples, affecting other people's lives. Even if you have only one person that you can see that you would be able to disciple, you can affect that life of that person. I can testify that you would have that glorious feeling you cannot explain. Now, just the other day, somebody posted in the internet, I shared this with you before, that the person that we ministered to in city jail, he was transferred to the maximum penitentiary in Manila, and we visited that person. That person, in his few months at penitentiary, he was elected as the manager of the commissary store inside the penitentiary. And the statement that he told me, he said, Pastor, I may be in prison, but I have sense freedom even in prison. You know what? After 29 years because of life's imprisonment sentence, after 29 years, the pastor that accompanied us, he met again at the seminary. He said he is in first year Master of Divinity. I showed Maribel the picture and the story. And wow, I just cannot say anything. But deep inside, you would like to cry. How is that? A murderer from prison to preaching. Those are the comments that I read from there. Well, it's so wonderful to see changed life. And now it's your turn. What happens to a person that your life had affected? When it changed, you would sense that glorious feeling. The term of the world is, you are very proud, but it's not very proud, because proud is just something you want to others to praise you or something. But you, the glorious feeling is deep inside you, there's this rejoicing, there's peace and overwhelming joy that you would sense. That's the glorious feeling of making disciple. This world is filled with so much concerns of life that can cause anyone, believers or non-believers, would worry because of those concerns. Yet Christ commanded us, do not worry. Our tendency is to worry. Godly command says, do not worry. Did the Lord imply that worries hinders our productiveness? It does. When we worry, we are not thinking of doing what God wants us. We are just focused on the things that bother us. Yet Christ offers us, I have come that you may have life abundantly, life in its fullness. And yet there's worries, a lot of worries of life that pollutes our perspectives. Worries would cloud our mind, and we fail to appreciate the great plan of the Lord for us. When we worry, think about that. When you start worrying about health, worrying about finances, worrying about economy, worrying about the wars happening, worries about children, their future, grandchildren, their future. And we are disturbed and not focused on what the Lord wants us. But when you sense that worry, pause and pray. Worries of life can confuse anyone. No one is exempted. But how can one ignore concerns of life? What had Apostle Paul advised us to be free from concerns of life and not worried? That's our lesson for this morning, free from concerns of life. Let's read again verse 32 of our passage. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affair, how he can please the Lord. That should be the concern that should bother us, should cause us, should get our attention. How we can please the Lord. The Lord's affair should be our top priority concern. Top priority. How can we please Him? But most often, worries, necessities in this life confuse personal priority, our priority as believers. Previously, Apostle Paul advised, he advised us to remain where we are when God called us. Like the virgins are advised to remain as they are, so that they will be spared from and not face the many troubles of many of married people, that married people may worry. What else? An unmarried person can prioritize how they please the Lord. Have you asked? Why is it so important for believers to please the Lord? Why is that very important? Not just important, essential. It's necessary for us as believers. Why is it very important for us believers to please the Lord? Why is that? When we obey the Lord, He is pleased. But it also practically proves that we love Him. I love you, Lord. It's not only by singing that I love you, Lord song. It's how we practically prove by obeying the Lord. Then what happens? The Lord pours out so much blessing for us. What is blessing that you are expecting from the Lord? That the Lord would pour out when we obey Him. And of course, it needs faith to believe. Ask the Lord to increase your faith to believe that everything we see in this world comes from the Lord. That the Lord had created everything in this world, jewelry or gold or precious metals or oil, everything that they are mining comes from the Lord. It was the Lord who created them. If the Lord had created them, then it means He can easily provide material things that we need, practical things that we need to live a godly life. Married people have practical concerns. What are concerns of married people? How they provide for their family? How they provide for their children? There's this added concern, how they can relate to extended family, the relatives of their spouse. Have you heard of stories where mother-in-law and daughter-in-law are not in good relationship because they just didn't like each other? Maybe the mother-in-law is so fashionable and the daughter-in-law is not very fashionable, something like that. Or a mother-in-law is from another tribe and the daughter-in-law is from another tribe. Have you observed that from your parents? How do you relate to the relatives of your spouse? There are other unexpected problems of married people. And they can be confused which one to prioritize. To prioritize the family or prioritize the extended family. Have you heard about a prince? The prince was, when he was not married yet, he prodigally explored his freedom. And then his adventures had been limited after he got married. What else? His wife was not prepared to be essential part of the monarchy. What happened? That prince was forced to choose if he sides with his wife or to promote the welfare or interest of the monarchy. Reflect on that. If powerful people are not exempted from concerns of married life, what or who can help any ordinary person not to worry about the concerns of family life, married life? Christ our Lord admonished us. He can help us. Admonish us in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 34. Let's read together. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What do you think? When we worry, we are sinning. Do you know that? Why do we sin when we worry? Because it was commanded. It's against the command, do not worry. When we worry, we disobey the command, do not worry. It's godly command not to worry. But when we worry, bow down, Lord, forgive me. I just cannot help it. I just sense that weariness. Take them away. Forgive me, Lord. Help me trust you instead. When the Lord commands us not to worry, he implied, come to me and I will give you rest. He said that. Come to Jesus and he will give you rest. Rest from worry. The blueprint, the solution to worries is seek first his kingdom. Verse 33. And his righteousness. And all the things that you worry about will be given to you as well. Now, if you cannot believe that, ask for increase of faith. Lord, give me stronger faith to believe. In simple language, we will not worry about life. God give us all things we need for godly life. How is that? That we prioritize obedience to righteous instruction of the Lord. When we prioritize our obedience to instruction of the Lord, he provides for the things we worry about. And we've got that joyful peace instead of bother, some worry. No worry. Why? Got food, clothing, shelter, these are very basic necessities for everyone, not just for Christians. The basic necessities of married people, however, would increase as their family grow larger, right? The more you have family, have children, the more basic necessities increase. The basic necessities of the family grows in multiply when the family grows in number. The more children you have, it will multiply. However, singles have lesser necessities. But since anyone, everyone, married or not married, has tendencies to worry, what can we do to avoid worries? And worries about basic necessities of life. Finances, for example, what practical step can we do? Here is a testimony from a believer testified that she had been concerned about financial support. Her family was growing. She had no idea how they could finance the studies of their children because they are just working a minimum wage job. What if their children enter college? What? How they would support their children? One day, she received a prayer letter from a missionary friend. The missionary friend particularly asking for prayer for financial support. What should a financially stricken believer do? If you are financially stricken and you receive a prayer letter asking you to pray for financial support, what would you do? She regularly prayed for the missionary. What else? She set aside a fraction from her family budget and sent it to the missionary. What? Yes. She had financial shortage, but still sent financial support to the missionary. How could she decide to do that? Certainly, ordinary mindset can be puzzled with it. And here's the result. Many years later, the believer was freed from worry about finances. Eventually, their children enrolled and studied at prestigious universities of their choice. Can you accept that God honored her financial sacrifice for mission support? Now, if you want details about that story, just ask Maribel and she will tell you. What is biblical basis for that? Have you discovered the blueprint of abundant blessing from the Lord yet? Now, prayerfully reflect on what Apostle Paul declared in Philippians chapter 4, verse 16 to 19. You sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more to be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Whenever you quote that verse, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus, read through from verse 16 in or even before that, so that you would understand the context. Why did Apostle Paul declare that God will meet all your need according to his riches and glorious in of his glory in Christ Jesus? Now, by faith we can imagine this glory. What is this glory? It's more than happiness, smiling. It's that deep joy inside. It's rich. The Lord is rich with that. And he would like us to have that. How can we have that when we have worries? Of course, it's not only the feeling. You have something to be glorious about. That is what it means. But it's by faith we can imagine that. Non-believers cannot imagine, what did I do with glory? Something like that. That is the conclusion of it. That is the final effect of the many blessings that the Lord would shower. And Apostle Paul testified because the Philippians sent him through Epaphroditus mission support. The Philippians sent support to the mission team of Apostle Paul. Mission support. What did Apostle Paul say? Fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice that pleases God. You want to please God. You want to please God. One thing that pleases God is mission support. What would God do when he is pleased? When he is so feel good, when God feels very good, gloriously, what would he do? What would you do? When your children come home and they did something that you feel so glorious, and the child would come and say, "Dad, can you buy me a new sneaker?" Because you sense that glorious, and you know that you have also budget. You do not even think twice. Well, this is so expensive. No. Because of that glorious feeling, you are so pleased with your child, you just cannot help it but give to that request, right? If parents can do that, how much love do you think God had? Multiply that with billions, trillions, if you would. Why? God loves our love, for God so loved the world. God loved the world. How many people in the world? Billions? Multiply that love that you have with billions. That's how you see how loving God is. Apostle Paul declared that mission support was credited to the accounts of the Philippians. What does he mean by that? Mission support is deposited, added to eternal treasures. Now, here is something. So, I don't know how I would translate this. But there was a time back in the Philippines, secretly, I didn't tell my wife about this. But deep inside me, now I'm telling it, revealing it. Now she knows. She will know. I asked God, "Lord,
Have I earned any treasures in heaven yet? And I asked the Lord, Lord, if I have earned treasures in heaven, maybe because we were just financially stricken at the time, and I asked the Lord, can I withdraw some of those treasures? Can you convert it into money? I truly asked the Lord that, because I feel like I need some finances for my family, and asked the Lord, did I, Lord, earn any eternal treasure? Can you convert that into money that I can use? I asked that. I remember that prayer. I don't know if it is considered weird, but that's how I say, I'm very close to the Lord. How do you translate lambing in English? That is my lambing to the Lord. How do you translate that for the sake of Nikhil? Do you know? Now, tenderness? I don't know. It's something like this, Nikhil. That word lambing is like you as a child, you go to the father. Father, I would like a new sneaker. Kind of like, no, I don't have money. Please, father, I just like to have my sneaker because I want to play this game, basketball, cricket, or something like that. I need that new sneaker, please. Something like that. That kind of attitude to the father, you know that the father cannot ignore you because you just want to. I don't know how you would explain that, but that word in our language is lambing. Of some kind of that deep affection with the father, that you just trust the father would give in to your request even if he says no. And that is how I practically saw that the Lord, I don't know if he really answered my prayer, but we are here. We are here in Canada. We have material things that we cannot imagine we could have back in the Philippines. Would you like to do that to the Lord? Try it. I am not saying that you do the same thing that I asked, but try how you may ask the Lord for something. Ask the Lord for something that you cannot provide yourself. Things that you cannot do, the impossible things that he cannot do, and he will do for you. When he will do that for you, you will be filled with glorious feeling, rejoicing and praising God and thanking God. And you would like to obey the Lord all the more. Now the statement, God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul implied that the believers in the church of Philippi were just ordinary people. They were not rich by the standard of this world, so that the Lord would supply their needs. And God is pleased to supply their needs abundantly. Mission support is pleasing to God. Say that. Mission support is pleasing to God. Say that again. Mission support is pleasing to God. So prayerfully ask God to grant you godly wisdom and revelation. Challenge yourself. Financially support missionaries or mission work. When you give the tithes of God, the tithes of God belongs to the church. The 10% belongs to the church. But we have tithes and offerings. Offerings is outside the tithes. In that offering, you designate a portion of your offering specifically to missions. Or you may directly send mission support to missionaries acquainted to you. you may have known a friend or formerly church pastor back in the Philippines or missionaries working in the mission fields, they will surely diligently pray for you. Every time they receive from you, they will be reminded, Lord, I pray for the Maples Evangelical Church that they may continue to have abundance and shower their abundance to us. They will pray. How is that? Pray and ask the Lord. Try it. You may start with $50 at first, quarterly, and then when you grow, if you are more financially stable, then increase to monthly 50. And then after that, however the Lord touches your heart, you continue. The more missionary you support, the more people who would be praying for you. Church, the Maples Evangelical Church, be serious about that if you want to please the Lord. It is better if you would pray for a church where you came from the Philippines, even if you do not know the pastor, even if you do not have not attend to that church, Christian church. When you go home, when you go back to the Philippines, or go back to India, look for a church, attend that church, know the church, know the person, the pastor, that treasurer. I would like to send support to you, maybe once in a year, once in a blue moon. I would like to know to whom I should send. You may start with once a year, then quarterly. The Lord will move your heart, and you please the Lord. Start with that. Most often, married people are very anxious, concerned about this is a problem of technology, right? But we can live with that. Married couples, they are concerned about financial matters because as a family multiplies, financial needs multiply, as the family, as children grow bigger, financial needs grow bigger. Food, clothing, necessities increase. It's possible that right now, married people are thinking about what their family may eat later. While the unmarried people may plan where they can serve the Lord in short-term mission. Let's read again verse 33 and 34 from our passage. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world. How can he please his wife? And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world. How she can please her husband. At Valentine's Day, social media flooded with pictures of many things that their spouse or lovers give them. What is great gift for a married person? Married people can be creative about gifts. There was this a video circulated online. A man took a basket or box and arranged. It's not flowers that he arranged. He arranged the ingredients of tinola. wait for that. That's not that. Tinola. There's the malunggay. The chicken was alive, actually. The chicken was alive, and he put it in that box. And what is tinola? Papaya, ginger, salt, something like that. And many other things that he arranges very carefully, then carried that box with that ingredients of chicken
stew. Or tinola. Tinola is chicken stew. And he brought to his wife and said, "Happy Valentine's." You know what happened? The wife smiled so wide. She was so fascinated with that creativeness. What? Yeah, why not? Why not? She's happy that she has something to cook for the family. Now listen, someone said, a happy wife has happy family. Did you hear that? Happy wife equals happy family. Do you believe that? See? The wife said, yes. Can you recite? Happy wife equals happy family. Happy wife equals happy family. So listen, husband. Husbands, listen carefully. To have a happy family, do your best to make your wife happy. How is that? How is that? If a happy wife is the cook at home, she will certainly prepare tasty food. The best ingredient of delicious food is inspired cook. Everyone is happy if the food is tasty and delicious, right? You just don't, I don't like that. That is very tasty and very delicious. I don't know how to explain that, but that's not right. Some friends, they talk about food. I don't know if that friend are listening right now, but this is a real story. Foods that they cannot appreciate when they were younger. Someone said, I don't like beans. I don't like beans. Green beans, I don't like green beans. They gave me high blood pressure. Another person said, for me, I don't like sayote. Sayote also gives me high blood pressure. And the listener asked, why don't you like beans? Why don't you like sayote? They are delicious. They are nutritious. And the one who said he didn't like beans, why won't I? Beans in the morning, beans in the lunch, beans at supper, beans sa umaga, beans sa tanghali, beans sa gabi. And the one who didn't like sayote exclaimed, same here. Sayote at breakfast, sayote at lunch, sayote at dinner. Sayote sa umaga, sayote sa tanghali, sayote sa gabi. Have you had that story? Well, that's extremely tough. Have you had similar experience? There was this comics picture. Grandpa, that's a huge pot boiling. What is grandma cooking? And the grandpa said, son, just imagine we will be eating the same for 1 month. Totoo po yun? It's right. It's true. Back in the province, countryside, when Maribel was pregnant with Louis, she went to my parents, stayed there for a few months until Louis was born. And she told me a story. They would eat mongo in the morning, mongo at lunch. Huh? Oh, black beans, not mongo. Black beans. Black beans in the morning, mongo is precious. Beans is, we have a lot of those. Black beans in the morning, black beans at lunch, black beans in the at dinner, supper time. Following day the same for 2 weeks. You know what happened? Maribel lost her arthritis. She had arthritis when she went to the province, but after that, she was freed from arthritis. How is that? I don't know, but maybe it's God's miracle for her. Now you cannot complain anymore with beans in the morning and at lunch and in the afternoon. We had that. We had those experiences when we were young. So you are children, you are very, very blessed that you are here. You can choose the food that you want. So if your parents say, hey, you eat that adobo in the morning and adobo at lunch, that is better than beans in the morning. Beans without anything in it except for salt, beans in salt, not even kamote tops or something, just beans. Nawala tuloy ako.
Well, married people are concerned how they prepare food
that will not make their spouse get high blood. Not only that, they are also concerned about their family sustenance, the nutrition of the family. Those are concerns of married people. In comparison, married people have personal needs, but they are more concerned about the Lord's affair, how they can please the Lord. Let's personally reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ declared in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 28. Let's read together. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds, who of you by worrying could add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do these very little things, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you?
Surely there are a lot of anxiousness of life that can divide our attention to the Lord. The Lord wants believers to obey Him. But how can we obey Him? Ask the Lord how He would sustain you. Ask the Lord that you may please Him, because He has already prepared the best life you can ever explore on earth. Sometimes, if you are going to think about which the best life I can have, what is it? What is it, that ideal life that you would like? You would like that ideal life that you see from others, because you are tempted to think, oh, that's very nice. But actually, it's not. If I will have that decision, this is how I would choose my life. I would like to live in a small nipa hut, small house, very small house, one bedroom and a kitchen. So that's the only kind of life I would like, and live next to a river or a lake. It's kind of like cottage life. And go fishing every day. That's the ideal life, I think. But the Lord does not want me to have that. I know it, but most of the time I think I have that kind of dream, simple life, away from fast life of the city. But is it really ideal? Where can I live that it is really peaceful? Back in the Philippines, now even cats, they will eat. You cannot even have your cats walk there. They will eat. You cannot even say, I can have that key and lock my door. No, they have many ways how to remove your peace. Where is a very peaceful place you can live? In Winnipeg? Winnipeg once has the highest criminal activities. Where? In the U.S., much more. Where? Nowhere. But we can have peace in the Lord. So pray for increased of faith to trust the promises of the Lord with undivided devotion to God. Let's read again verse 35 of our passage. I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. What is the right way to live? What do you think? The right way to live in earth is undivided devotion to the Lord. It is for our own good, Apostle Paul said. The Bible says, it is for our own good. It's not a restriction. It's for our own good. Do you like to have good life? You live the right way. How do you live the right way? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Now, if you are our focus is divided, and ask the Lord, Lord, I would like to have undivided devotion to you, to please you, help me. Because he said, he enables us if we ask him. Unmarried or virgins are advised to remain in a situation that God called them, but if they choose, they can get married. Both the married and the virgin, they are acceptable to the Lord. Married people may face concerns of life that virgins can avoid. The unmarried people can avoid. The unmarried people can prefer undivided devotion to the Lord. The right way to live as Christian is what? What is the right way to live as Christians? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Say that. Undivided devotion to the Lord. What is the right way for Christians to live? Undivided devotion to the Lord. Why is this? It is for our own good. I'm not saying this. I am saying this for your own good, he said. Not to restrict you, he said. The Bible says, it's not a restriction for us. It's for our own good. Think about that. It pleases the Lord to have undivided devotion to him. If we are devoted to him with undivided devotion, he is pleased. His design of life is to live the right way for Christians. What is that? Well, what is the plan of God for Christians to live in the right way? That's good for Christians. What is it? Undivided devotion to the Lord. How can you do that? You cannot, we cannot, but God can. He can enable us. Does it please the Lord if we also devote our time to him, including activities, the things we do, how we play, how we work, our dreams even? Does it please him? Well, let's seriously meditate on what Christ declared in Mark chapter 10, verse 27 to 30. With a man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or field for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, home, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, field, along with precious persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. Right now, my siblings are watching, they are following, and right now I say, I miss them. Yes, I miss them, but why would I not go home and see them? Because I have brothers and sisters here. Actually, more brothers and sisters here are, I hate to say, but it's real, more caring than my siblings. Even if they would email me and say they would hate me, no problem. I believe in the promise of the Lord. You will not fail to receive 100 times. Sometimes I respond to my children, to my siblings when they ask for help. You people, I tell them, you ask help from me and you don't listen to me. But the people who listen to me, they give to me. They do not ask anything from me. It is a reality. What can we do? It's the Lord's grace. When you follow the Lord, you would sense that this is real. It's real. My mother is about 88 years old. And I have more mothers here. How they care for me. My mother really loved to prepare coffee for me when I'm home. She would always prepare for me, and my father would say, "You prepare coffee for Lorenzo and not me, why?" Nagsiselos yung daddy ko. I don't know, but that's how she should love for me. Now, if you have social media account, you may have group chat, a messenger or something like that. These online communication devices can be effective means to reach out to long-lost friends, even relatives, classmates, or acquaintances. So pray for divine appointment and perfect time to share the gospel of Christ. People in your group chat might be waiting to hear a specific message from God. They may want. So be attentive to opportunities. I have group chat with my high school batch. They will talk about something like that. And every Sunday, I would just copy-paste this live stream and just send it to them. Because some of them may not have opportunity to go to the church. There was a time, last Sunday, the preaching was about attending worship service or something like that. And then they were talking about, I have many things to do, and they talk about not going to church, but they love the Lord. Well, I'm glad I'm sharing our worship or even the message to the group chat, to my relatives, to my cousins. Some of them may be traveling, and they have no time to go to church, and they just open their cell phone and listen to the message. That is how you may use your communication devices. Certainly, there will be relatives, there will be friends, acquaintances who may not like to hear the gospel. I can testify to that. Some of those I sent the message, they did not like. And worse, they may even block your account. I'm using Maribel's account, actually. I don't have Facebook account, so she will be blamed because she's the one sending, but I was sending. You may feel sad to lose friends, relatives, after you share with them about God, but be encouraged. God declared that the reward of prioritizing Him is multiplied how many times? 100 times as much as you lost. Homes, relatives, even livelihood, along with persecutions. In this present time, present age, and in age to come, eternal life with God in heaven. Can you accept it? Together, let's meditate on what Apostle Paul declared in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. This is Simon Peter who wrote, "Simon Peter, servant of Apostle and Apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have
receive a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Everything we need for godly life has been delivered. Did you know that? Everything we need for godly life has been delivered. His divine power has given us everything with it. Has given, that is past participle, has given, that has been delivered. The term for that given is delivered, has been delivered. Everything we need for godly life. Through the knowledge, through, how? Through. Not Canada Post, through the knowledge of Him called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us very great, precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. So how can we get them? How can we hold on to what God had delivered? Pray for increase of faith. Pray for godly wisdom. And internalize His revelation. Lord, give me wisdom. You have already delivered what I need. Give me wisdom so that I know which practical step I would take for me to hold on to that, to everything I need for godly life. Pray for that. The Bible says that the Lord God gives wisdom without finding fault. So just pray for wisdom as much as you want. You pray for wisdom as the wisdom of King Solomon, or more than even what he gave to King Solomon, ask that. That is one good prayer item, actually. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Don't stop until you know that you are, even if you have that wisdom, keep on. Like asked me yesterday, did King Solomon lost his wisdom in the older part of his reign? And here I was. That's a good question. Why? Because with wisdom, he did what is best. And then, what happened to the last part of King Solomon's life? There was no peace. He had trouble at the ends of his life. So did he lost his wisdom? Maybe he had wisdom, but he was not able to use it wisely. So keep on asking for wisdom from the Lord, godly wisdom. And as we grow deeper in our knowledge of Christ, we commit, we give, we devote our undivided devotion to Him, and that is pleasing to the Lord. The right way of living is undivided devotion to the Lord. It is good for us. The Lord made it sure that everything we need for godly life is well provided. Actually, He said it was already delivered. Ask for godly wisdom and revelation, godly revelation, so that you may know which practical step that you may take. You may ask our church leaders, and many among us, they can easily testify about this reality. Ask them personally how they experience freedom from the concerns of the world. So when you observe our church leaders that are not, you sense like they have not much concern. How did you practice that? And you may learn from them. God offers solution to freedom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Here's a suggestion. How to prioritize obeying the Lord. Go serve missions. Go and serve the ministries. Send mission support. Send mission support. Send financial support to ministers you know who are in need. regularly pray for missionaries or ministry workers. Another, attend prayer meeting and share about your decision and ask the Lord. If you do not know yet, we have more than 30 last Wednesday attending prayer meeting. Now you would miss that. How many have attended? 32? 32? Or more? There's 32. So almost one fourth or one third of your attendance is attending. If you want it, yeah, come and join us. And pray for your concern, personal concern. The more people who would be praying with you, the more you are grow strong in your faith in the Lord. Let's stand up. Pray for yourself how you may have undivided devotion to the Lord. Ask the Lord for godly wisdom. Ask the Lord if the Lord wants you to go and serve in missions or serve in the ministries He prepared for you. Ask the Lord if the Lord wants you to send mission support, financial support, ministry support. Ask the Lord to give you desire to pray regularly for missionaries or ministry workers. Ask the Lord even that He would give you that delight to attend prayer meeting. Don't just come to prayer meeting because you hear it from pulpit, but come because the Lord gives you that glorious desire, delight. You are delighted to attend, just as you are delighted to attend Sunday worship service. Let's pray.